cliffcentral.com.
Asambeni Nkanda, asambeni.
Look who's
Msholozi. Don't you love it? Don't you love it?
What a song. What does he say?
No, we must all go to Nkandla.
Masambeni siya Nkandla.
We must all go to Nkandla and just check it out. Sanibonani Nonke, hello and welcome to the show. It's Frankly Speaking, as always, 1 hour of the discussions and talking points that you've been thinking about throughout the week. And we're trying to bring them up and have open dialogues about them. And we'd love to discuss it with you. Today we've got some interesting stuff. You see, I'm getting straight into it, Rory, because I think there's no point in delaying. I don't even want to ask you how you are, because there's no point. Okay, how are you? Let's go back.
Hasn't changed. It's the status quo remains.
What is that?
I'm
depressed and sad.
This country, man. But I think, you know, the big thing that's been concerning me is how we can't seem to just, you know, get on. We can't seem to just get on with everything, you know. We are supposed to, we all seem to agree that Mr. Zuma's time has come and that he needs to vacate his office. But we can't seem to all unite around the fact that this needs to happen urgently. We can't seem to agree on who must lead this movement. We can't seem to decide on what we must do. Must we wear black? Must we march? Must we go out into the streets? Must we call ANC MPs? It seems like...
Must we ask for the land first before this happens?
It's a mess. And maybe it's time for us to speak to some leaders, people who have actually been in the business of mass mobilization, and get some views on how exactly do we get, especially the middle class, you know, we get...
Look how upset you are already about the middle class.
The middle class, we are disappointed. You know, the middle class is disappointing. We will scream and shout on Twitter, and then we will go and have a donut
at Dunkin' Donuts.
And then you've forgotten about all the issues and so on. So, the middle class seems to be a big part or a big element in this. But the middle class seems to also not know what to do.
But the middle class is also divided right now, which is very interesting. It's not just the middle class of old, you know, 1994, we're now talking about a black and white middle class that are very divided in what to do
but
and how to do it.
But that's the thing. It seems on this we all agree, that President Jacob Zuma's time has come to vacate office, right? What we don't agree on is now what, right? Some people want us to first discuss, wait a minute, let's first discuss racism and let's deal with that and then we can get to it. Some people say, yeah, but you know, what about the banks? The banks are the ones that we need to focus on. So it's like, okay, so what must we focus on first? And what must we do? Some will say, no, but if you wear black, what does it mean? What difference
what changes,
does it make?
Yeah.
So we are all over the place. Meanwhile, the Zuma Incorporated faction seems to be very determined and very disciplined in their approach, in how they're approaching things. You know, you have a very well-oiled machine, it appears, you know, throwing propaganda on one side. You know, there's just a very clear game plan, it seems, from that side. And it doesn't seem that from the anti-Zuma side there is any sort of coherent plan to what needs to happen. So we do need to figure out, we do need to speak to some people who are at the forefront of these campaigns and to say, but guys, why do you seem not to be leading us in a way that is unified? You know, it's the year of O.R. Tambo, according to the ANC, and unity seems to be the big thing for the ANC this year. Maybe it's time that unity brings down the ANC, but the question is where does it need to happen, and where do we need to start, and how do we start?
It's you've asked about 50,000 questions there, Rory, which I'm hoping people smarter than us can answer. I'm very excited. This morning, we hopefully are speaking to two gentlemen who, to be honest, I have had the most amount of respect for throughout my life. These are two leaders that I think are changing South Africa, that have been changing South Africa, and that will change South Africa. The first guest in studio is Comrade Zwelinzima Vavi, which I'm very excited about. I've asked Mr. Vavi to come into studio many times, and he's a very busy man, and now finally we have him, so I'm very excited. Mr. Vavi, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you coming in.
And good morning to all of your listeners.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you. I'm very excited. I'm actually a bit of a groupie, to be honest. The other gentleman that we're going to be getting online is General Bantu Holomisa, head of UDM, and another huge fan of his work. And just the amount of truth that he speaks in Parliament, it is very difficult to speak truth to power. He seems to be doing it very well. So we're going to be speaking to both of these guys. And of course, if you want to join the conversation, at Rorisang Shabalala or at Rory Shabalala and or at Yebo underscore L-E-V-Y, let us know your thoughts. There's tons of comments on Facebook as well. We'll get to some of those as well. Mr. Vavi, let's start with you right now. Tell us, just very quickly, what are you up to at the moment? There was a long pause, and now you're back. I'm very excited. Tell us what you're doing.
Well, we're putting together a federation on the 21st of this month. Mm-hmm. We will be launching a federation that is consisting now officially of 21 unions who represent 864,863 members, with about 19 other unions still seeking mandates from their members to form part of the federation. And so we're making history. Mm-hmm. Before the end of this month, we will put together the biggest federation at birth. No one has succeeded mm-hmm. to do that ever, because that was only half of that. In fact, it was about 300,000 of that when it was formed in 1985. We, in terms of today's membership, becomes the second largest federation at birth. And we know that we will turn the tables in 6 to 2 years. And we will become the biggest federation. We're doing this, learning from all of the mistakes, trying to correct all of the mistakes, the weaknesses, mm-hmm. the challenges that working people are facing. And these weaknesses are that the federations that are, and this is the prime lesson we have learned mm-hmm. from mm-hmm. all of our years of being active in the trade unions, that a trade union that is not truly independent from the bosses, be they in the private or in the public sector, cannot be a home of workers. A trade union that is not truly independent from political parties cannot be a glue that can attract workers. And we have known that a union that cannot be truly democratic, that cannot be worker-controlled. But more importantly, in the context of the challenges facing the workers and the working people in society, we know that a union must be campaigning, must be militant, must fight to take up issues of workers in the workplace, but must combine and must know how to combine those issues with issues of society. And that's why a trade union must establish tactical allies with civil society organizations to fight for better healthcare, for better education, for better infrastructure, and for including roads, to fight against e-tolls and, mm-hmm. and all of that. And so that's what we're doing at the end of this month. And
wow. Let's bring on the other guest. Joining us on the line is General Bantu Holomisa. Good morning, General.
Good morning, Tatu Vavi, kunjani?
Siyaphila, General, kunjani?
Kona, why are you guys, are you pussyfooting instead of pushing this corrupt government out?
Well, let's answer that question first.
Well. General, we are not pussyfooting. I was listening, what's the name of the presenter?
Rory.
Rory was raising such fundamental questions. I'm sure you were listening to him. It's not sometimes as easy as you look in the context of the brief history you have as a general and who was kicked out of the ANC for speaking the truth. And for me, who was kicked out of COSATU for speaking the truth. And all of us are a child born children of the ANC and the Congress movement. Mm. And we were pushed out of that movement precisely because of what we stand for. And therefore, what is happening in our eyes is a very, very complex set of political circumstances. And let me explain why this is so. The ANC as a movement, as a whole, both the ANC faction led by Zuma and the ANC faction led by Cyril Ramaphosa, have broken the contract they had with the people of South Africa in 1994. And that contract was to build a better life for all of our people. That's what Nelson Mandela and his ANC advanced, and that's what excited you and me and millions other people behind the color black, green and gold. That contract have been broken to the extent that as we speak, we have the highest level of unemployment in history, at least since 2008. We have the level, extraordinary levels of poverty. We have now become the most unequal society in the world. In fact, we've now the most unequal society in the world. We have corruption rampant all over. And we have Zuma, we have gained more power, not because of his own actions alone, but precisely because both factions of the ANC were giving him so much support and praise as he was destroying the NPA, the Hawks, when he was assaulting the judiciary and calling them counter-revolutionaries, when they were attacking the office of the public protector. They were doing all of these things together. And this is what should be putting South Africans in a fix.
But let's
both of them are as guilty as charged when it comes to threatening the basic foundations of our democracy.
Yeah,
and we should not be confused about that.
Let's spread the net of blame just a little bit wider. We have the alliance partners, SACP and COSATU, that were also seem to have enabled the situation to get where it is. General, you have said that you have called the likes of COSATU Johnny come latelys to the party, but you say we welcome them with one voice. How do we move forward? Because certainly you have this coalition that's beginning to form. It doesn't even feel like a coalition at the moment. It feels like a number of different voices saying many different things. They all agree on one thing, Zuma must go, but they are all saying very different things. How do we get all of this, how do we begin to pull all of this into a mass movement that can act with one voice and move to the same tune? You're an army general. You know how to do that better than most. So how do we get all these soldiers in line, marching to the same tune?
Well, I don't want to talk about my previous role in that regard. I can give you a simple answer.
Please, give us the simple answer.
I think, well, now I'm a converted Democrat, so the rules have changed. Now, what I would suggest we do in this setup is that, one, we must commend the sudden emergency of the civil society in South Africa. I think they had lulled after 1994, thinking that the comrades will pull us through. But we know the history that it didn't go that way. Now that the civil society is making noises, I would suggest that they should lead this process. We're not talking about regime change now. The immediate task and problem facing us is the current president, who is using a fake intelligence or relying on a fake intelligence and use that as a justification to elbow good ministers in the government. Yes, we are in the opposition parties, but if a minister like Pravin Gordhan and many others are good, we know that they are administering on behalf of all South Africans currently. But when you start pushing those people because you have your own project, I mean program of looting the resources, then we have a reason to say he must go. But if President Zuma doesn't want to leave or ANC is protecting him, obviously the tone of the campaign is going to change. Mm. And that is to say the ANC must be punished because they have put the interest of individuals ahead of the country.
General Hulumisa, I'm interested to hear.
I'm saying the civil society must take control, must lead. Political parties, yes, but we've got limitations. Sometimes we tend to want to push our own agendas as individual parties. But we will be part of that collective. I'm happy that the other parties, political parties, are beginning to, let me put it this way, the opposition parties are beginning to close ranks to join forces with the civil society.
General Hulumisa, I'm interested to hear, you know, you asked a very good question to Mr. Vavi. Are you frustrated with the likes, the leaders of Zweli Mzima and others who at one stage were actually supporting Zuma through Polokwane? We saw that, and now seems to have changed their tune. Does that frustrate you in any way, or are you just welcoming that everyone has finally come to their senses?
No, we should welcome that. Even the gentleman next to you there was one of those who was leading the campaign to say Msholozi, Tsunami, you name that, you know, you remember that. Right? So, but we should credit people like Vavi, Malema, and others who sensed that, no, man, this is not the original agenda. This guy we're supporting is a rogue element. Hence, they got out. So we should welcome people like Keys and many others. But we will see this afternoon what stand are they taking. Will they allow themselves to be called by the other faction in the ANC to say, to apologize or keep quiet? It's an interesting phase.
Zweli Mzima, I'm interested, you know, around this whole organizing against Mbeki and what we learned from that, and potentially if there's any way or learnings that we can use now to organize against Zuma effectively. Was there anything that happened during that time? I mean, I know it was a crazy time in Polokwane against Mbeki that we could potentially use now against Zuma?
There are huge lessons that we must learn, obviously. We were in COSATU at that time. We were absolutely incensed at our marginalization by the Mbeki faction in the ANC. We had been very angered by the fact that the alliance had been made dormant and was becoming increasingly irrelevant and was not a alliance that we would have liked to see, a consultative alliance, an alliance that worked together, not during the elections, but in between the elections as well. We hated the policies, the orthodox, laissez faire, market fundamentalism that was epitomized by the adoption of GIA in 1996. We campaigned against privatization. We had lots of grievances. We hated his stance on HIV and AIDS, and we hated his stance on the crisis that was developing in Zimbabwe. We had lots of reasons, and so we we look for a champion.
We laugh now. Wow, wow.
And somebody raised his hand and said, you have to send me.
To Money Mean.
To Money Mean, yeah. And I'm ready. And this general, we can laugh now. This is a very painful history. And this person, we said, okay, fine. He was facing 783 charges. We even ignored that.
Yes.
And we said, anything that will bring us a decent work agenda to change the structure of the economy, address the crisis of unemployment, and deal with the crisis of HIV and AIDS and all of that is fine. So go forward. Oh, we yes. go forward with you. Mm. Man, what a mistake. What a blunder
yeah.
we committed there. And as we speak, I normally call him the wrecking ball.
Yes.
The wrecking ball have basically finished with the ANC and have destroyed the Youth League, have made the Women's League what you see in Bathabile Dlamini. And have destroyed COSATU, have made the SACP irrelevant. I hear that the SACP says they will contest election on their own. Nobody takes them seriously anymore. And because he destroyed the whole institution of Mandela, Hani, Oliver Tambo, Joe Slovo, and all of them. It's done. And this is the complication to you, General, and to me. When we say Zuma must fall, the next question that our comrades are asking, so what must rise?
Yes, who must rise? Yeah. and how do you not make the same mistake you made last time?
Exactly.
How do you not make the same mistake you made last time?
How do we avoid playing right into the hands
another two mami
of the ANC factions, and suddenly we work to the advantage of one faction, and yet these factions are both of them having blood of the country
yes
in their hands.
Mr. Babi,
they've got Marikana blood. They've got the service delivery people of Andrew Tatane's blood. They've got the bloods of the people of Mutotong, both of them. So what must rise? In class terms, what does this mean? I mean, we know that in the immediate, Zuma is a problem. And I mean, it's not even Sim. Zuma is a problem. He is removing a minister clearly for nefarious reasons. He have no reason. In fact, we are challenging that reason in court because we think that he's going to be terribly exposed to having to come and explain why he used his prerogative and what was the context and all of that. And so we're doing that. But the question rises, so what happens? And when Gordhan comes back to his position, will he be implementing a radical economic transformation that will address the crisis of unemployment, poverty, and inequality? The answer to that is that no, he will continue with the pro-business agenda, and which makes South Africa to be one of the most unequal. We've got a few multi-billionaires who are smiling and who love Gordhan at the policy level. And we've got millions of workers who are sidelined and who don't like Pravin Gordhan and the ANC. They don't like all of the factions of the ANC because, as I said, they have broken the contract of building a better life for all of our people. And so that's why I was saying your questions are such fundamental and so important. So from the new federation, we take a stance that says, at this time of this crisis, we raise all of our grievances. And our grievances is unemployment, is poverty, is inequalities, is corruption, driven by all of them, and the private sector is the banks that are conniving to increase the price of the currency. Is the Eskom that puts us off electricity for 6 years in order to manipulate us to agree to higher levels of tariffs, and it is all of these crooks who are feeding on the carcass of the of our society. Those are our issues. So we will tackle Zuma. Yes, we want Zuma to go, but we want Zuma to go with all of the cronies that have been supporting it.
Yeah. General, yes, you are a reformed Democrat, but there are some skills that you have that we can never abandon. So in war, you have to decide what is your primary, what is your first point of target as you fight and move forward. Now, the first point of target, it sounds like, is to remove President Zuma, who has survived 8 scandals, 4 motions of no confidence, 1 scathing constitutional court judgment, and not forgetting those 783 corruption charges that he must still answer for. This man seems invincible. So what is it? Exactly. slippery man. In the army, you would have done reconnaissance and you would have tried to identify where are the weak spots in this man who seems invincible. Some say he's got the strongest sangoma in the country, and this is why he keeps punyuging. General, you as an army man, I'm sure you have analyzed, where should we be focusing our efforts if we want to be successful?
Well, Chief, I think we must answer one question. Mr. Vavi has summed up the whole state of the nation in his presentation. The question is, what next?
Yes.
We must not waste our time and talk about all these ills. We have been stomaching them from time immemorial. What should we be doing? Easiest way would be for all South Africans who are concerned about their country to converge under one roof. I'm sure out of that, we can come up with subcommittees to look into different issues, talk poverty, talk about unemployment, you talk about the economy in general. All these issues like land and so on, we need to go back under one roof and start mapping up the way forward towards 2019 and beyond. So ANC is clear that they have messed up, and we cannot expect them that they would correct themselves. They are conflicted.
General, who must be the convener of that one platform, and what is it going to take? We've been speaking about this. We've been speaking about realignment. Who must lead at this point?
As I've said earlier on, the civil society, political parties. I wish one day we can just meet under one roof without wearing any colors. Just wear T-shirts which says South Africa or something like that. And then we talk as South Africans and say, where have we messed up? How can we fix this? And so on. And we proceed. I mean, look at COSATU, for instance. They used to have so many numbers. But when the government, ANC government, introduced the issue of contracts, even the civil servants, they don't have careers. I think something is wrong somewhere.
Well, let's get Bob Vavi.
So there's no way that I'm going to say it must be convened by so-and-so. But I'm sure if we can have a coffee with civil society, political parties, ANC members, and so on, it must be depoliticized completely, this issue.
Bob Vavi, are there any plans afoot? Is anything happening at the moment to convene this broad base of concerned parties? Is anything like that happening? We saw you at the Save SA rally recently. We're seeing you occupying the same spaces, but that, does that mean you have begun to occupy the same mental space about a way forward?
No, no, no. What we've done on our part is once we saw this crisis looming, we obviously clarify what this crisis means, and I've articulated that in this interview. And then we convened a meeting of civil society where we suggested that we ought to have a standing crisis committee against the state capture. And this standing committee must have four capacities. It must have a capacity to mobilize people. It must have capacity to take up legal questions or legal challenges. It must be able to challenge government at every corner if any of its new ministers or old ministers break the law, undermine the spirit of the constitution. And thirdly, it must have the a capacity to fundraise for that purpose. And fourthly, it must have a capacity to disseminate information. And because one of the biggest challenges we're facing in the country is that people just don't know. People are being misled on a daily basis. For example, President Zuma claims that he's doing all of this destruction for radical economic transformation. But he knows deep down his soul that he is lying. Mm. He have no such an interest to Zuma. Mm. And in my view, he have no interest of the ANC, the country, or anything. And he have an interest of advancing the family interest of the Gupta, and his own family, and the family of the other crony capitalists who are hanging around his skirts. That's President Zuma's interest, and he have demonstrated that over and over. So we have not yet established that center, and that's why even at this moment, you can see that there is a lack of coordination. Mm. The response and what we want is not the same. I mean, from the trade union point of view, you would have heard what I'm saying we should be advancing.
Mm.
And that will not be the same as what the employers want. But the employers are equally disgusted that in their eyes, a very efficient minister is being replaced by somebody who have no track record, none whatsoever, in the form of Maluso Kikaba, in terms of running an effective operation. In fact, from our point of view as workers, we know Mugabe as the outsourcer. And when he was in the Home Affairs, he outsourced everything and to private companies. And he changed the conditions of employment of workers there without any consultation with them. How could he suddenly represent anything called radical economic transformation when he was in the minister in the state-owned enterprises? We know what he did. He was chopping and changing boards, and all of the people he was bringing on board where Gupta linked.
I just want to bring everyone in here. It's just gone half an hour of the show, and we've been speaking to two of the most amazing people, I think, in South Africa at the moment. Rory, I'm surprised we even thought we'd get a word in with a trade unionist and a politician at our forefront here. I thought we'd battle
should,
to ask questions here.
We should leave the studio and let them have a conversation.
Let them have a discussion. We're speaking to Zwelinzi Mvavi and General Bantu Holomisa on the phone, finding out about how do we mass mobilize to remove Zuma. General, you had a very good point to say we need to bring everyone together, civil society, politicians. I'm interested to see or hear who you think from the ANC you would actually trust to get into the room. I mean, the ANC, in their systems, delivered us Mbeki. We know what happened there in terms of the AIDS denialism. 300,000 people reportedly died. The ANC delivered us Zuma. I mean, we can talk for days about what he's delivered for the country. I mean, who can we trust? You know, is Zweli Mkhize the compromise candidate? Can we even trust him? Who would you trust being in this day-to-day, sitting in Parliament on a day-to-day basis? And I want to ask the same question to you, Zwelinzima. Who would you trust from the ANC to actually sit down and have a frank conversation about where we are?
Don't waste your time. Of the ANC who are members of Parliament, I trust no one. Maybe we can talk to those people who call themselves veterans. because they are the ones who understand the passage of the struggle. They are the ones who knew what they were fighting for, not these hyenas which we have them in Parliament. I'm sorry.
But now surely there's a disconnect there, because surely we've been asking the struggle heroes of yesteryear to do so much, to be involved for so long. I mean, if we don't bring younger blood into these conversations, what do we expect? I mean, is there no one from the young unions that we think?
No. When we say civil society, it includes young people. Youth, women, you name them, including these veterans. But I'm saying your question was clear. Who in the ANC? I'm saying the current ANC leadership, the ones I have, I sit with them in Parliament, not a single one. So that's why I'm saying let's engage those who are already making a noise outside, because they know why they left South Africa, for instance, why they sacrificed their lives in jail. So these ones are just sources. Don't waste your time with them.
General, then what chances does a motion of no confidence have if we can't trust any of them? Have none approached you on an informal basis to say, put this forward and we will vote? Or are we wasting our time with a motion of no confidence?
If they were honest, if there were some of them who were honest, they should stand up in Parliament, in actual fact, and propose this vote of no confidence, because the NEC of the ANC is dominated by the cabinet. Look at the members of the NWC. It's like a cabinet of Jays that's moving a thing from Matshabanzovu or from Union Buildings to Lutuli House. It's the same people. Mm. So don't expect anything. But if the backbenchers of the ANC and other senior members were to stand up and propose a vote of no confidence against their president, that motion would automatically pass, and we wouldn't have to wait for the so-called NEC, which I said is dominated by the same cabinet, about 72 of them.
Mr. Vavi, your thoughts? Anyone in the ANC right now that you'd bring to the table to have coffee with General Hulumise and yourself?
No, unfortunately.
I mean, isn't this scary? Isn't this really scary? I mean, we've got a situation where we don't trust one ANC member of parliament to actually come down and have a frank conversation. We're talking from Cyril Zwelle, Gwede, all the way down to the most junior person. We don't trust one person.
Let me tell you what I did 2 days ago. I saw General the WhatsApp that was circulating of a speech, very good speech, made by Cyril Ramaphosa in Durban, some dinner there.
Mm.
And I said, wow, this is good. That's what I said to myself. Then I said, by the way, let me just Google. And I Googled practically Ramaphosa praise Zuma. And the Google just offloaded how many times he has been praising this wonderful leader, Jacob Zuma, as late as September 2016.
Wow.
But didn't you also praise him?
That's the point. But here's the point. I did praise him. You know, when we said we want a change in the ANC, we want our ANC back. We want an ANC that will go back to 1969 Morogoro, and that will go back to the Freedom Charter. And Zuma raised his hands, and we know that we messed up there. And we should have not been fooled by somebody who was corrupt and who was a refugee from justice already in 2007. So we gave him a chance. 2009, come in. I can tell you this. 6 months after he had taken over the government, We were saying, hold on, what is this now?
6 months
was long enough. Mm-hmm. And by the beginning of 2010, I was desperately trying to find a meeting with him. And I eventually set him down, or he set me down in March of 2010.
Mm.
And for 3 hours, I gave him a download of the concerns that we were picking up from the leaders of COSATU at the time. COSATU was united at that time. And something that I've known about JZ is that he's essentially a coward, and that's why he's so dangerous. He doesn't sit down with somebody who disagree with him and disagree and engage. No,
he'll just keep quiet.
He said, I'll call you back, Mfana. I'm going to give you my side of the story until today.
Oh, wow.
Instead, he engineered my dismissal in the Federation and got the majority of COSATU to say, yes, Vav is a problem. He's anti-ANC and blah, 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 blah. And so that's when I warned against us moving towards a kleptocracy. It was way back in 2010. The signs were now there. When I said never again will I accompany anybody to go to court facing corruption charges, the signs were there that we have made a mistake. That was in 2010.
Yeah.
So I am guilty as charged for helping to bring this comrade, a monster politically, to occupy the highest position. And we now see what is the destruction of the very movement and the country, unfortunately. But then here's the difference. He runs, and everybody can see what is the basis of his running. And can you just give me 2-3 minutes to make this point? President Zuma takes over the reins of government in 2009. What does he do immediately? We all of us, including myself, stupidly dismantle the scorpions. And so we say, scorpions were a problem. Let's put a hawks on the and the hawks. Eventually, he runs a systematic campaign through his cronies to get rid of an MK, a celebrated MK comrade who have been an MK commander for the Western Cape for 15 years, Anwar Dramat. And he's shown the door, he's gone. And by that time, I'm convinced that there's an agenda to systematically hollow out the institutions of government or the state. He goes for the NPA. He goes for the judges. He puts up a social worker to be the minister or to be the commissioner of police, and the corruption starts to spread left, right, and center. This is my beef with Ramaphosa. There is a deputy president of the ANC who is there, sidelined completely. He have no say, and to the point that he then decides that it's either that I will stand to be the president or I'm out. That was Halima Mondlante. And he stood. And Cyril Ramaphosa knew that is the case, that this comrade have seen it all and he will not want to be associated with this nonsense anymore. But he agrees to come in. By the time 2012 happens, no one can tell me that he didn't know what was happening. He decided to dance with the devil in order to advance his career. And that's why he kept on praising Zuma, 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 Zuma all this year until recently he changed. So that's my beef with all of them. This was originally one faction. Gwede Mandashe were in the run-up to 2012. They were calling themselves Zuma Ndashe. Zuma and Mandashe, an alliance very close in the destruction of the trade union movement unity. Both of them. And now they are falling out at each other, not because they suddenly saying we were wrong in the destruction of scorpions. They won't say we were wrong in the destruction of the hawks, or that we gave a prosecutor who is a professional Nasana a 17 million to go in order to get this yes man, Sean Abrams. They're not coming to society to say this is our sins in the process, and therefore we've been struck by lightning on our way to Damascus. No, that's not the point. They suddenly say Zuma must go, and that's why we can't trust that. We can't trust that general. That's the point I think that you are making. I can't trust any of them. And if somebody change, the first thing, admit that you messed up.
Yes.
And then see how we work together to correct moving forward.
General?
My battery is going to die soon. But my parting shot would be to answer your big question. What now? What should we do?
Yes.
The opposition parties in parliament have already formed a steering committee with a view to approach the civil society, wherein we report almost everything which we have said here on the new program. Mm. I hope then from that meeting there will be a direction. We need to have a summit of all concerned South Africans. And then from there, then we can come up with different committees to work a way forward.
That sounds encouraging, General.
It sounds
encouraging. I think the challenge that we would put to yourselves just as you leave is not to get bogged down in the administration. Let us focus and let us keep moving. I think we are all just sitting and waiting for action. We can quickly turn this into something about many issues. But right now the prime issue is let Zuma go. Let's get that done.
But I'm also happy that the civil society and political parties are going
aligned
to protest from Friday onwards and so on. So it's getting together.
Which activity before you go do you endorse, General? Is Friday the day that you endorse for everyone to go out? Which one is the one that you endorse?
I endorse everything which will bring pressure to the ANC. Okay. Everything. I'm not selective.
Yeah, he's an agnostic.
But in future, because this thing is going to continue, in future we should meet as in time and plan for such things, and also avoid to have agent provocateurs in these campaigns. We have to be careful.
Thank you very much for your time,
General. Thank you so
much. Thank you, General.
Wow, amazing.
Let's have tea very soon.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Bavavi, I want to bring this back to us, because we can speak about the politicians and yourselves leading, but it's up to us as the masses to participate. What are the challenges? I mean, you've been mass mobilizing, you've been an organizer since the apartheid days until now. What are the challenges as far as trying to get us, the middle class, mobilized? Where are we? Because we seem to be the ones letting everything down. Is there any hope that the middle class can put on a defiance campaign at the scale that was put up in 1952, for example?
Well, the middle class in Marxist terms.
Yes, in Marxist terms. True.
Is known True. To be, yes. It's a vacillation nature.
Yeah, the bourgeoisie.
Vacillation.
Yes.
You can't get them in one place.
Yes.
They move with the most powerful force in society.
Mm.
Either they go with the workers or they go with the bourgeoisie.
Depending on what
and
suits
it
them.
It depends on what suits them.
Mm.
But at the same time, we know that if you want to know what is the pulse of the nation, you have to press there in the middle strata, and you will get to know what are the concerns. And so we've got to continue to pressing. We've got to continue. This is what makes this thing complex. Me and you were in the side of the people before 1994. The division was so
clear,
straightforward and clear.
Mm.
It is them, the supporters of the apartheid, and it is us, the people who want non-racialism, non-sexism, democratic, united South Africa. Now, very complex.
Mm.
It's after 1994. In fact, we're doing 23 years after 1994. There is no such a clear difference. And the difference now is class-based. The difference is moral, ethic base.
Mm.
The difference is many other issues that are not so easy to identify.
Mm.
And this is, according to black people, a black government, not a white racist regime.
Mm. Mm.
And so whether you like it or not, that brings a complication. And so somewhere in the back of your mind, somewhere there is something that says we can't allow white fellows who supported apartheid to come back through the back door.
Yes.
And that's why people say, what about the banks? What about our land?
Yes.
What about racism?
Yes,
and all of that. Mm. Even when it is now very categorical that the Zuma agenda
is taking all of you down, irrespective.
Yeah. All of us.
Yeah.
We will be crying for our land in the dustbin of history.
Yes.
And we will be crying against racism.
Yes.
When the whole country is flattened.
In fact, that would be the least of our worries. It would just be bread at that time.
Yeah. Mm. And so even with those complications, our call is middle class, join everybody else. Mobilize. I think this extent of anger this time is the correct anger, but we must not forget the underlying reasons. The underlying reasons is that we're not reacting to just one man being removed. The underlying reason is that we've seen enough of unemployment, poverty, inequalities. We've seen enough of corruption, and that's what we are reacting to. And so Pravin Gordhan becomes only a symbol, maybe the last straw. People said, not anymore. We can't take this anymore. And therefore, those who are marching tomorrow, we will say, march on. Let's continue marching every day. In fact, there are people camping outside the church square daily since Monday. They have attended there, part of an effort to say, South Africans, we can't be comfortable in our homes. Mm. We rather sleep in the grass here to register our disgust, our anger that these guys are doing this. This is no longer just about the neoliberalism versus anything in ideology. Zuma represents, yes, neoliberalism, but he in the main represents the destruction.
He doesn't care
about any ideology. He is representing a destruction. And that's why every South African, in my view, whether he's a worker or in a capitalist or middle strata, everybody must now join hands.
Well, let's talk
and
about
fight
this,
against destruction.
Let's talk about this join hands, because there's been a number of supposed marches happening on Friday. I want to understand what your plans are for Friday, because I want to join you. So where are we going? Where are we marching? Where does it start? And how do we get involved?
Look, originally this march seemed to be called by people we didn't know in the social media.
Mm-hmm.
And so we reacted to say, but what is this now? Where is the organization that called this? We need coordination. That was our response from the South African Federation of Trade Unions point of view. But then this thing of gained credence and gained ground. There's a momentum around Friday, which nobody can stop. And it doesn't matter now who called it, who initiated it anymore. The issue is that people want to march and to show their anger. And so people must go and show their anger. So the marchers are assembling at 12 o'clock on Friday at Church Square.
And
they will march to Pretoria, to the Union Building.
Okay,
rather.
From Church Square.
From Church Square in 12 o'clock.
Mm.
They will march then to Union Building. And we think that South Africans have a right to be angry.
Mm.
And this is a distraction.
And those that don't go marching, there's also, I guess, a stay away, a boycott type thing that's planned there. Is that another effective way in which people can voice their
dissatisfaction? There's all manner of things that are being planned. For example, we were going to suggest to the civil society that we should have a total shutdown on Wednesday next week.
Okay.
And we're still consolidating that as an idea.
Mm.
And we, in fact, from here are going to submit a Section 77 notice.
From Wednesday next week. Yes.
And our starting point is that it is the crisis of unemployment, poverty and inequalities that we are dealing with here, which both Zuma and Gordhan are responsible for.
Mm.
But we are aware of the difference that Zuma represents the worst of anything.
And so that's the starting point.
That's our starting point.
Yeah.
So we want more. And I mean, we want people every day in our lives. Let's go back. This is a new struggle. Nobody can say this is business as usual. We can't make Zuma to have the comfort of continue to destroy everything that was built and face no consequences, including the ANC. I don't know what they met and decided yesterday. In our view, they have allowed the situation and have given power to Zuma to do what he's doing to the people of this country. And therefore, we don't see any of them as a potential friend and ally as we take up this battle. We are fighting against the continuing job losses now. Zuma's agenda will close five power stations in Mpumalanga. Do you know what that means? It means all of the mines that were supplying coal in those power stations have to close down. It's thousands and thousands of jobs. We are facing now a job destruction in the steel industry, in the clothing and textile industry, which have been decimated. Now poultry that's the destruction that gets hidden, because it is so usual. That's our daily bread in this country. And so yes, we may be reacting to an attempt, because Zuma is now wanting to take over the treasury of the country and privatize it and give it over to the family of made up of his friends, where his children and wives are working from and benefiting. And that's what we must say no to. And
Mr. Bobby, we've unfortunately run out of time. I mean, it's been it's fast. Yeah, I think we need to have a follow-up discussion with you. We'd love to have tea. Let's get general here. We'll supply the tea. You supply the conversations. We'd love to have you again. And I just want to thank you personally for being so brave about saying where you made your mistakes, because often we as leaders don't like to admit where we went wrong. And I think we can admit that we did back the wrong horse all those years ago in Polokwane, and it's brave of you to say it. So thank you for saying it. Thank you for being so honest, and thank you for joining us on the show. 12 o'clock, Church Square.
On Friday.
Bring a cloth to put over your mouth, because when they start shooting that tear gas, you got to be ready, and bring a lot of water for your fellow compatriots, fellow South Africans who will be marching with you.
I can tell you none of that is happening in Pretoria. We have been there. It's quite clear.
We hope.
No, it's now clear who is running that city, I must say.
There will be no
tear gas from elsewhere.
Interesting.
I hope that's the case.
With everything that we can see, but that's a very interesting dimension.
Dynamic, absolutely.
So don't be scared of it. Come out then, 12 o'clock, Church Square, Pretoria, this Friday. It begins, ladies and gentlemen. It continues, and look out for more action from Mr. Vavi next Wednesday as well.
If we can't go to Union Buildings, we're going to Nkandla, as Puza Kemisi says.
I just thought I'd bring this back.
Let's march to Nkandla.
Hey, if you missed any of this conversation, fascinating, check it out on cliffcentral.com/frankly speaking. More next week as we go deeper into the conversations South Africans need to have.
Ciao,
ciao. Cliffcentral.com.